thing I really enjoyed about having Josh and Liz live with us is that I get to eat more of Josh's cooking. It's true. So up until they moved in, most all the cooking that I ate of Josh's was in the form of beef jerky. So when Josh would get a deer, not beef, but a deer, when Josh would get a deer, he'd make this really good jerky, and so I have a bag of it. I always forget it gets stuck in there, and I want to go get it out. But you've got the jerky, which is dried, you know, piece of deer. It's very tasty, very flavorful. But when Josh, now that Josh has been living with us, I get to have fresh, cooked, tender, not dry. Yeah, we get it, whether it's beef, whether it's deer. But there's a big, how many know there's a big difference between eating jerky and eating fresh meat, right? Big difference, big difference. But it's both. You need, sometimes you need that jerky. All right, and just the difference too, like last night, Liz was cooking these, you know, which we don't do. I mean, we don't do this at home, but Liz just happened to put some fresh refrigerator biscuits in the oven, and you know how many know they smell real good when they're cooking, right? And there's a difference between eating fresh bread and crackers. Right? So if you sit at the table, you go to a restaurant, they say, of course, we're talking about food. It's getting to be 12 o'clock. Hopefully we won't hear too much gurgling of the tummies while we do this. But someday they'll ask you, do you want crackers with your salad? And we went to a restaurant that we really liked, and I've never had it before, but they cooked French bread, and they crusted it over with Parmesan cheese and butter, and they baked it with that Parmesan crust on it. It's like, yes.
This is not a good idea, bro.
It sure beats, let me tell you what, having that with your salad sure beats, right? Sure beats crackers, right? Sure beats the crackers. So I guess I'm kind of leading into this scripture with this illustration because it's really true. On our vision has three words to it. It's revival, renewal, and restoration. I want to talk about renewal today and what renewal means. Because renewal is the difference between crackers and fresh bread. Renewal is the difference between beef jerky or deer jerky and fresh cooked. Big difference, isn't it? Now, there are times you need crackers and there are times you need jerky. If you're in the wilderness and you don't have any food, I'll grab the jerky and I'll eat it. Because I don't have time or I don't have the means to shoot a deer or shoot an animal and cook it, or the animals, the only animals out there I will never eat. I'm sorry, there are certain things I probably will never eat, and possum is probably one of them. Now, I've eaten snake, I've eaten a lot of weird things, but I just don't think I'll ever get to that point. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, have you eaten possum? I just don't know. There's something about that critter that just like, no, I don't think so. But I hear you can cook it and eat it. People tell me that. So renewal. And renewal is God's plan for every believer. But many times you find some cracker Christians. I was going to say jerk Christians, but that's just too, you may feel that way too. Jerky, that real piece of jerky, that Christian right there. No, but cracker Christians. That's why I believe in renewal. Because without renewal, you become dry. Without renewal, you become not very tender, but you're still got your meat in there, right? There's the meat of something, the meat of the word, but it's dry. You know what I'm saying? There isn't freshness to it. There isn't life to it. There isn't tenderness to it. There isn't the now word of God. And so we're going to look at Lamentations 3, and we're going to speak this together. And you probably can quote this. I can quote it because of a song. But you know, there's a difference between, I got to say this, Josh, I love the jerky, but it can be tough. You got to chew it a while to get it down. Okay, but you know, it's not, you know, but it's really tasty. And maybe you could say that about some people, you know, they're tough, but they're tasty. All right. Okay, we can go with enough with the jokes. Okay, so can we speak this word together? Let's speak the word of God together. Let's declare it. Ready? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. There's the freshness. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Let's go to the next verse. The Lord is my portion. Amen. That's my piece of fresh bread. Says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. Amen. Amen. The mercies of the Lord are fresh every day. Every day. Woo! Praise God. Every day. The Lord's portion is fresh. Every morning, think of it as waking up every morning to the smell of fresh bread in the Lord's presence. Man, wouldn't you want to get in the Word every morning if it was like that to you? And that's what it's like. That's what it's like in the Spirit. When you spend time with God, every morning there's something fresh every single day. There's something beautiful. There's something fresh. His mercies never cease. And later on in that scripture, it says, it's good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That word wait and the word hope are the same word. You see, God's word is fresh every day. And faith is a now experience, but by faith, we now wait in hope. Can't hope without faith. Praise God. Because of what I have, I now can expect more than what I have. Faith upon faith, glory upon glory. It never stays where you are. It grows. It's fresh. It's every day. Every day, the mercies increase. It is good that one should wait quietly for the Yeshua of the Lord. Well, who's Yeshua? Jesus. That's his name. And you have to learn, when you see the word salvation in the Old Testament, you have to replace it in your mind. That's what God did for me when I got saved. When I became saved in 1974, I had to think about that. In 1974, Yeshua replaced that word salvation in my heart. So when I read that scripture, I knew what salvation was, and I knew who salvation was. Now, the Lord wants to shift our way of waiting. And how do we wait for the Lord? I want to talk about that means. How do we wait for the Lord? The Lord is our portion, right? How do we wait for him? So I want to talk to you from, oh man, I had a cartoon I was going to send you. I sent it to somebody. Did I send it to Josh? I sent it to Heidi. Heidi's got the cartoon. But anyway, I should have sent it to Josh because it's a picture of Noah's Ark. Going in the Noah's Ark, and Noah's two sons are bringing a barbecue grill with them. And Noah's like, no, you can't do that. Sorry. You know, that's Josh. If Josh were going on the Ark, he'd be doing the same thing. So So here's the thing. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 8, and I want to talk to you about waiting and how we wait for the Lord. Because when Noah got on the ark, and we know this story, Noah got on the ark, he had to wait. After he got everybody on, they closed the doors. And how long were they in the ark? How long did it rain? It's a good Bible question for a Bible teacher. 40 days and nights it rained. But did they get out of the ark after 40 days? No, not after 40 days. They had to wait after the rain stopped. And no one could open the window. So he had to open the window first, right? If you got a window at the top of your camper, think of the ark like a camper. You got a window at the top of your camper, you can't open the window until the rain stops. It's got one of the windows like that. So they had to get the window open because it stopped raining. So after 40 days and 40 nights, and we know, guys, 40 days and 40 nights is a really important time of period, right? It was 40 days that Jesus what? Let me say it again. 40 days that Jesus fasted in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So that 40 days represents, and I believe that when Jesus went out there, he knew the story of Noah. He, you know, the 40 days and 40 nights, it was a testing time. How many years were the children of Israel in the wilderness? 40 years. So that 40 is a big word. It's a very important period of time. It's a time where you encounter opposition, if you will. We encounter testing. We encounter something that seems in some ways contrary to the Word of God. That's what it is. It's a time that's a contrary time. It's a pressing time because God wanted life to be on the earth. God wanted blessing to be on the earth, but he had to send the rain because the earth was going in the wrong direction, and Noah had to wait for God to deal with whatever was going on that he couldn't see. And that's many times when we have to wait on the Lord. Many times it's because God's busy doing something else that you just don't know about, and it's okay. He doesn't have to tell you everything. Can someone say amen to that? Come on. None of us have to know everything that's going on, and God's got his business. As a matter of fact, he told Abraham, he says, you know what? I haven't finished dealing with them Canaanites, so it's going to be a while, Abraham, until I bring my people in. It's going to be a while. And so here we are with Noah waiting 40 days. The rain stops, and then he has to do some things. So I want you to look at this waiting, and I believe we'll learn something about how God wants us to wait. Because I know we all don't wait the same way. All right, here we go. Let's just go in this, and you'll see it. So here we go. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 6, and I'm going to hit it here, and here we go. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window that he had made and sent forth a raven. So the first thing he did is he sent forth the raven, and the raven went to and fro. And I just want to do it like this because, you know, that's what birds do. You know, you see them up there in the sky, and they just go to and fro. And it went to and fro until the waters dried up. Now, here's a question I have for you. Did the raven ever come back to the ark, as far as you know? Does it say it in the word? Did y'all look there and see? Nothing, no word about the raven ever coming back to the boat. So that raven was some kind of bird because it just kept in the air flying. Flying, flying. It was like a watchman staying out there and just flying and seeing what's going on. But it never landed back in the ark. It eventually, I believe, landed on the earth, but it stayed there. So Noah did not know if the waters were gone because of the raven. The raven didn't come back and tell him, hey, Noah, guess what? Still waters out there. No. He'd probably say, Mark, right, no, water's still there. Okay, so the raven kept flying. And so Noah did not know. He did not know yet if he could get out of the ark. So he had to wait first. When the raven flew, whatever he did didn't produce the answer he was looking for. Can someone identify with that? There are sometimes you put a raven out there and you don't get it back. For some reason, you don't get word, you don't hear. You just put out that prayer, praise God, and it's still flying, praise God, and you just don't know. Can someone say amen to that? That you put some raven prayers out there. Come on. Come on. I put some out there. I put them out there. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Come on. Let me just tell me if the waters are gone. And all you hear is, rah, 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 rah. That's it. That's all. That's it. Nothing else. Just the raven. Praise God. And I love ravens because it was a raven that fed Elijah in the wilderness. So they serve God. Praise God. Okay, here we go. Now, the next thing is he sent forth a dove. Doves are cool birds. Totally different from a raven. As a matter of fact, doves, was it Uncle Johnny that had doves? Pigeons. But very similar. Very similar kind of creature. And so doves can be raised, they can be domesticated, and we know that the dove represents, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit, and actually in the Old Testament too, because it said in Genesis 1, it says that the Spirit of God fluttered over the waters. Interesting. Hovered over the waters before God said, let there be light. Okay. So, the dove gets out there to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground, but the dove found no place to set her foot. And she returned to the ark because waters were still in the face of the deep. So there is a prayer of the Spirit that goes out, and the dove comes back and says, not yet. Sometimes we offer prayers, and God says, it's not time yet. But I'm there. I'm going to give you an answer, but the answer is not yet. All right, I've got that prayer. I've had prayers like that. I've had times in the Lord where there's something I'm reaching for and the timing is not yet. That's okay. That's okay because it's coming from the dove. The Spirit is telling you. Can I give you an example in the New Testament? For example, Paul says, we're going to go preach the gospel in Asia. And the Holy Spirit said, no. No, don't go to Asia. And for a while, they didn't know where to go. In the book of Acts, they were trying to go into Asia to preach the gospel. God said, go to Asia, go to the world and preach the gospel. They tried to go. The Holy Spirit said no. But then all of a sudden, they went into Greece, into Europe. And God redirected them into another location because where they thought they were supposed to go wasn't where God wanted them at that time. And so the Lord has timing issues and location issues to our prayers where there are times that God will redirect you to another place because he had the Philippian jailer. Okay, we're going. All right, so now, then he waited. Here we go. I want you to go to this next verse. He waited another 7 days, and he sent the dove out again. And again, he sent forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was an olive leaf. And so Noah knew that the waters had subsided. The dove came back with an answer. A sign of new life. New life. They could not come out of the ark until there was new life. There is a time of waiting that God has. There's a time of waiting for all of us. And the key for the answer many times has to do with the renewal or the new life that God has for us. Because what God does, He doesn't recycle the old, He renews the old. We live in a new way in the Spirit. We're not just resurrected the old. When John Heiss got saved and filled with the Spirit, it was not the old John, it was the new John resurrected. When Jesus was resurrected from the dead, it was a new Jesus. It was a renewed form of Him in new life, so much so that didn't recognize Him. When He came to them, they couldn't see Him. They had trouble seeing Him. Actually, Thomas said, I won't believe until I put my hands in you. He could not connect the new Jesus with the old Jesus. There is a renewal. And I know that I was a different person in Christ. When I got saved that night in Christ, I was not the same. I was renewed in the spirit of my mind, my soul, my emotions, what drove me. Now, it took a while for me to take a hold of various parts of my life, but I got my olive branch. I knew it was time. I'm getting off this ark. Praise God. The time of my waiting for my salvation was coming to an end. But I want you to look at this word for wait. If you go back one verse, Noah waited for the 7 days. That word wait, it just got me because they use two different words in the Hebrew for waiting in verse 10 and then later on in verse 12. Keep going now. Look, he waited another 7 days. He sent forth the dove out of the ark, and they get an olive branch. Now go on to verse 12. He waited another 7 days. That's a different word right there. Okay? So the second wait is a different word in the Hebrew than the first wait. So let's go back to verse 10, and I want you to give you the first word, and I want you to see the difference between the two, because I want to talk about how God wants us to wait. All right, so the word for wait here means to twist around. It means to swirl around. It means to be trembling in anguish. It's used all those different ways. It means to writhe in pain, like giving childbirth. In other words, the first waiting that Noah did, he did so in great anguish and great frustration and great trouble. He was having a hard time waiting. He was getting all twisted up and you hear the expression, twisted up and knotted up inside. And you can see people when they have to wait. If you're getting in a restaurant and some people are waiting, they're just sitting there just chilling out, just being cut. And other people are like, come on now. They're drumming their fingers and they're just like, you know, like this and like this. Do you see the difference? Come on, have you been somewhere and you've seen people when they just can't stand the wait? They can't stand the wait. They're just like frustrated and they're anxious and they're just wrapping their this or that and you can see it on their face. But God wants us, come on now, we know that faith gives us what we have because Jesus gave it to us before we even asked for it. So if Jesus can wait until we're born, why can't we wait to receive what God has already given us? But it's how we wait that matters. How are we going to wait? Are we going to wait all twisted up while we're sending that dove out? But let me tell you something. When he came back without olive branch and he said, there's new life now, I'm giving you a sign. I'm giving you a sign that I'm faithful to you. I'm giving you a sign that everything I said to you about the rain and about the ark and about the new life is going to happen. It's going to happen, and here's your little olive branch to prove it. That olive branch, that olive leaf represented new life on the earth. There was nothing. It was all gone. And he wanted to prove it to Moses. Moses said, I see that leaf. Now I know that there's a tree behind that leaf. Now I know that there's another tree next to that tree. Now I know that there's a forest with those trees. Now I know that it's time. But guess what Noah did after he got the olive leaf? Turn it over. He waited another 7 days. But it was a different way of waiting. Praise God. Now, I'm going to show you what that word means in the scripture. We're going to finish with this. Look at Psalm 43, verse 5. Psalm 43. No twisting and turning. No, I can't stand it. What am I going to do? When is this going to happen? And that anxiety and that anxiousness and that worry. But not... Why are you cast down, oh my soul? And why are you in turmoil? There's this turmoil within me. For I hope in God. That word hope in God is the same word for wait. It's the same word. It's hope. It's hope. You could also say, why are you cast down on my soul and why are you in turmoil within me? Wait in God. For I shall again. Look at the declaration he makes in faith. Wait in God, for I will again praise him. I will again. I will again and again and again and again. And again, praise him. I will again and again and again, because I'm not stopped praising God in speaking worry. I'm speaking praise. I'm speaking my Yeshua and my God. My Yeshua and my God. It's a different kind of wait. Definition, here it is. You ready? The waiting. Waiting has to do with surrender, my portion, my inheritance, my source. Being quiet, being peaceful. That's the wait, the word, yaha. It means to hope, to rest, to be patient, to be quiet, to trust, to quietly trust. And there's a place of waiting on the Lord that's just quiet. You're no twisting, turning, anxious, crying out. It's just trusting in the Lord. I've come to that place of rest. It's a different kind of sense, a completely different sense. It means to almost quietly praise the wait. But notice that here you're quietly praising God. So even though your mouth is making noise, your heart is still before the Lord. There's a sense of peace. So, praising continually in expectation, I will yet again. Now, it can also mean praise after silence. Okay, I do believe that. So, if someone's physical body passes away, and they go to be with Jesus, there's going to come a day when their physical body is going to yet again praise the Lord. I know someday you may see me, unless Jesus comes before then, you may see me in a casket with my mouth closed, but let me tell you something, there's going to come a day when that little flesh, that whole of a body, is going to be, thank you, Jesus. Amen? That's what we have. God loves our bodies so much that he doesn't throw them away when we're done. He loves our bodies so much that he's going to give us new bodies when he comes. He loves our bodies that much. He cares for us that much. And we need to praise him until we see the answer. Because Noah waited another day, another 7 days after he got his answer. And he stayed in that new waiting period, that new form of waiting. I am expecting God. I know he's going to be here with me. I'm going to keep praising him. He is my Yeshua Jesus, my Jesus and my God. He is. And I just, that's it, man. That's what I've got to share with you. There's a different kind of waiting. So if you go back to Lamentations 3, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. There is a renewal that comes as we praise God, as we wait on God. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait on him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Amen. This is a church right here that believes in the fresh encounter with God. This is a church that believes in the renewed lifestyle. This is a church that believes in waiting on the Lord, but not an anxious waiting, but a hopeful, peaceful waiting on the Lord. That's why time puts a lot of pressure on people. It's amazing when you have to have a certain time that something has to happen. There's a lot of anxiety. I don't know about you, but in the natural, in the flesh, I tend to get anxious when I have a deadline. Anybody like that? When there's an anxiety that comes before that deadline. But with God, that's not his way. That's why time is so very important here at this church, where sometimes we can't be ruled by the clock. We just can't be ruled by it. We have to wait on the Lord. And when the Lord goes, like Joshua says he stayed in the tent in peace, in hope, in expectation, until the Lord lifted, until the Lord left. And that is so important when it comes to revival and renewal for restoration to happen. You've got to have a new life.